This episode of To The Last Drop is sponsored by the Listen Audio app, where you can stream all your favorite radio stations, catch up on all the latest news and entertainment, and dive into captivating podcasts like this one, all in one app. Download Listen, that's LISTN, from the App Store or Google Play. The Listen Audio app, everywhere you are.
It's time for To The Last Drop podcast with Liam Del Carm and Brandon Nell.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Del Carm, and with me, as per usual, is Brandon Nell. We've got a bit of a bumper show for you as the first installment of the new year. Brandon, it was a bit of a head scratch as well, because you kind of come out of a Christmas and New Year's break and you sort of survey the land and you know, it's rugby's changed for us. So there's actually a lot.
Yeah, it's not those days where we always used to go back now and you do some preseason stuff before Super Rugby and you watch guys sweating at this time and in their practices as such. And we did our own bit of sweating a bit in the Christmas season. We should tell people that we did carry it on to the last drop in December. We did have a very festive afternoon we sampled some bottles of wine. So we certainly kept our part up, and we hope all our listeners did the same. It's a new year. I'm not going to say new year, new me, because it's the same old me. But rugby just goes full steam ahead, and we got to go back. And I must admit, I think like everybody else, you're sort of feeling a little bit blurry eyed that, geez, are we back in the and there's this whole thing which I never get used to, of people coming back in January and suddenly like, now I want to work, now I've got energy. And I'm not like that. To me, I struggle to start the year. And so if I do sound a bit like I'm struggling to start the year, it's not the wine. I just do this time of the year as such.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, I suppose also the game now has changed as the seasons of they're not quite in sync, but we're getting close. So there's no proper break. People keep asking me, aren't you going away? Aren't you doing this? And I'm like, no, there's not really time to do that. We've got to sort of plow through all of this and see where we can take a break further down the line. But yes, there is a lot to get through. Obviously, there are a lot of talking points. If you look at form of certain teams before the end of the year and the form that they've carried into this year, some of them, and we spoke about this earlier, there's a lot of improvement to be made.
Yeah, and I think we start off with the two obvious ones that we were going to chat about before we get into some deeper discussions. The Hollywood Bet Sharks is the first one. Of course, they are having a horror run. The fact, with so many Springboks there at the bottom of the URC log, that the Dragons actually are one above them now, just shows you how bad things are going in Durban. And Liam, I know you had a chat to Marco Mazzotti last week for the Sunday Times, and it seems like there still is some patience there in Durban. But surely, as times go on, if things don't improve, that patience is probably going to start wearing thin.
Yeah, I had to sort of make the point in copy that, and this was before the Lions defeat, which made it one win in nine, which obviously even compounded matters for them. But he seemed to be, before that game, still fairly upbeat. I made the point in my copy saying that the buck and the bucks stop with him, because he is the majority shareholder. But he's very much committed to this cause still. I didn't get any sense that he's growing tired or weary of this. He did make the point that the results have upset him. He was quite clear to, or quite keen to make that point, and that, whereas in the past he might have felt, a little bit, some unease, he's happy and confident that they've got the people in the right people in the right areas to sort of get them through this stuff, especially in the coaching department. He feels that they've got people there that are capable. And the turnaround will eventually, will come about.
I think to be fair, anybody who's watched professional sport for years knows that no owner of a team is going to go throw their guys under the bus. You wouldn't expect them to do that. But you can understand the angst around the results as such. And, you know, when you're investing lots of your own money into a team, you and when you've got the caliber of players that the Sharks have, you expect better results. And the fact that they threw away an 18-3 lead against the Lions, wonderful for the Lions to have that comeback. But from the Sharks' point of view, you sit and scratch your head at how did it even get to that point?
To be fair, also, I think there has already been an element of people being held under the moving bus. If you think of maybe the former, but the erstwhile Sharks coach that coaches somewhere else now. Marco was quite keen to make the point that, you know, if you look at some of the things that have been contributing factors to their lack of form, has been a bit of a perfect storm that has sort of helped drift them. They helped drift them, of course. And he mentioned injuries. Obviously, that's always a key one. But then also how the Bock absentees, whether that's through injury, also at the start of the season, you know, guys coming back from World Cup, they weren't available for the Sharks, and that has also been a contributing factor. And you know, I suppose there are other franchises that were also hit by that, but I suppose the Sharks have invested heavily, so you know they were always going to be affected by that.
Yeah.
But of course, fans won't put up with that. I mean, they want results. One out of nine, obviously, is not good enough. So they would be keen to see some kind of turnaround.
Two things there is, I think one, the Sharks went out and bought all those Springboks players or developed them themselves. Mm. They wanted that Galacticos type, superstar sort of squad. And that comes with a price, obviously, with an international season. And until the global season actually gets sorted out by World Rugby, if that ever happens. Mm. That's always going to be a problem. Secondly, I think there's a bigger deficit between the so-called rest of their squad and their Springboks. And John Plumtree said it quite honestly the other day after the Stormers game, where he said, we can't keep on wanting our Springboks to come save us. And their deeper squad problems is that there's been a bunch of guys contracted, and for some reason, whether it's their own fault or whether it's the coaching or whatever, they don't fit into the current game plan. So I think we're going to see a lot of departures in the coming months. Plum's going to obviously put his foot down and do things the way he wants to do. And that's his right. And then that's what the mandate he's been given. So he's got to get them on the right path. Otherwise, it's his job. So it'll be interesting to see the next couple of months. Sharks fans, I think you must brace yourselves. It's going to be some very interesting movements in the next months. But yeah, I mean, look, they've got a chance this weekend. We'll talk about the predictions just now for the weekend to write things. They should, in the Challenge Cup, get a win there. But then again, they should have got wins in a number of the games. Well, they never got the wins in. So
they had one on the platter last weekend and then somehow fumbled.
And then fumbled it again at the end. So, I mean, I feel for Butcher Chamberlain. So.
Yeah. Look, the other interesting thing I thought that Marcus said, because I asked him, you know, obviously the franchise is under pressure. He's a man that invested in fact, he made the point in a previous interview, said like he invested some of his life savings into this venture. You know, what kind of involvement does he have? And he made the point that in the past he used to, be a little bit more involved, but now it's kind of limited to one phone call a week to the CEO and maybe on a fortnightly basis, he'll touch base with the coaches. And that previously it was felt that maybe he was too involved. So he's taken a step back. So when you said earlier that, you know, a plumber's going to make those big decisions now, that's going to have to be very much the case. I mean, he will have to find a way to steer the Sharks out of these choppy seas. I mean, I suppose that's what he didn't say. It was a perfect storm for, you know, just pluck that from thin air.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, any good business, you'd want the owners not to micromanage, and you'd want them to trust the people that they put in charge. And I think that's probably what's happened. So you've got to give that a chance to develop. But yeah, I mean, you got to get the results. Professional sport is cruel. And as I said, there's only two types of coaches. One is being hired and one is being fired. So, Plum's got a task in his hands and it's going to be tough for them. But I saw some interesting comments from him after the Lions game saying, it's the leadership. He's very worried about the leadership. And I'm not quite sure that goes to the heart of it, but there certainly is something wrong.
Yeah.
It's difficult to stand on the outside and sort of judge a team for where their problems are, but he's got a task on his hands.
Yeah, you still get the general sense that they probably don't play with the cohesion of, like, the Stormers, who find a way of, even when they're not playing well, they find a way of winning. The Bulls to a certain degree as well. But the Lions certainly play with a lot more cohesion.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose, and that will have to be forged on a, you know, on the training field and then sort of later on, you know, in match day scenarios.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's you know, people need to find each other. There's no question.
You're with Liam Delcom and Brendan Nell on the To The Last Drop podcast.
We got a special guest tonight, all the way from Toulouse, but he's the La Rochelle scrum coach. It's ex-Springbok prop, World Cup winning prop, Guthrie Steenkamp, who coaches La Rochelle scrum, and La Rochelle, of course, under pressure this week, having lost their opening two games, the defending champions. And Liam and I caught up with him, chatted about just where they are and what's happening. Have a listen.
Well, for the last segment of our show, we welcome a very esteemed guest, a former Springbok and Bull stalwart, a man who is a World Cup winner. He's got strong opinions on a lot of things, in particular on the scrum. And he will share some of his opinions on wine as well a little bit later on. Guthrie Steenkamp, welcome to our show.
Hi, how's it going, guys? Great to be here. Looking forward to our chat.
No, good to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. Guthrie, I mean, just to fill people in on you, a lot of people might have not have seen you because you've gone off to France and you've disappeared out of South African screens. But maybe just fill our listeners in and what you've been doing the last couple of years.
Yes, obviously, I had 6 years at Toulouse, at Stade Toulousain, retired in 2017. And, you know, then I went into coaching, you know, went into specific scrum coaching, helping individuals, working with athletes all over the world, from amateur level all the way to international, you know, helping them find solutions in the scrums. And obviously dipped my toes in the corporate space as well, doing some team building. I enjoyed it, some seminars. But yeah, the last 5 years, I've been scrum coach in France. I was coach at Colombia in Pro D2 for 2 years. And I've been very fortunate enough to be part of La Rochelle the last 2 years. Winning those two Champions Cup the last 2 years is unbelievable. So, that's what I've been up to, you know, focusing on helping our players and, you know, giving my best that I can as a coach, you know. And to be honest with you, if I see how the game has evolved, I'm happy where I'm sitting behind my computer screen.
Yeah. Tell me about the move to La Rochelle. Obviously, you're a Toulouse man through and through. You know, were you torn?
I used to be. All right, let's clarify that now. I'm Je suis Rochelais. Now Stade Rochelais. Now it's unbelievable. Obviously, you know, I'm grateful for the time I've been in Toulouse. You know, it's been an amazing time. The people in Toulouse are fanatics. And, you know, even though when I go back, you know, I don't have the impression that I stopped like 6 years ago. When I'm going there, I'm still signing autographs for an hour long. And when I go to the reception, the chef will come to me and say, like, are you hungry? I'm like, yeah, I'll have a small snack. And then he comes up with a massive plate of charcuterie and foie gras and wine and everything. And like, what the heck's going on? So I'm still well received. And especially when I go to the restaurants in Toulouse, very well received. So I'm very grateful for that. Clearly, my investment into rugby, it's still paying off. But yeah, you know, La Rochelle's just on another level, you know, in terms of it's still a club that's growing. You know, the last years we were fortunate enough to win trophies, but and it's something great which we are building here, especially with Ronan Agora, the head of things, what he's trying, the culture he's trying to develop. And like last year, I've been fortunate enough to win a few trophies in my career, but winning last year, like, it was special because like when we went on the parade in the city, there was like 50,000 people waiting for us.
Yeah.
And like even the day before, on the game day, there were 40,000 people in town watching it on big screens. So people would just come to La Rochelle just to be there. And you know, I've never experienced that. In 2007, we were well received in South Africa when we won the World Cup. But the La Rochelle people, they're on another level.
It's interesting because, I mean, it was such an amazing game as well. I mean, you guys, I mean, obviously went down quite early by quite a big margin, then fought your way back. Incredible when not many teams do that in Dublin anyway.
That's quite an interesting. That's a tough one. It was a tough one for me to swallow because I was actually in La Rochelle because I applied for my South African passport and for some reason my file got lost in South Africa. So I had to watch the game in my flat in La Rochelle. I was very pissed off and obviously watching this game. And my missus came up to La Rochelle with my son as well just to, you know, give me some moral support. And at some stage she went out onto the balcony and we started to score. And I just said, you stay there. And she stayed outside for 35 minutes.
Watch the yachts come in.
The game, I said, okay, you come back in. So,
it was a deep summer.
It was summer. So, that comes down to the type of the quality players we have, the leaders. You know, you've got guys like Greg Aldred, Winnie Antonio, and Pierre Bouguereau. Greg is still young, He's not even 30 yet. But just the thing about Rog, he's installed this belief into the players, you know, that we are capable of achieving anything when we apply ourselves, and that just by trusting the system, backing each other, just we have this phrase, right, next job, let's go. And that's all they did. You know, players, they have confidence and trust each other. And obviously, you know, you can't win it all, but that was definitely special, you know. It just shows the character of the players. You know, I was fortunate enough to experience something similar back in the day in 2007 in Durban, right? We won against the Sharks. I'll never forget that. But, and that's the thing, you know, that's our core values in the club. It's work ethic, you know, it's being honesty, humility, and family, you know, that it's about leaving here, creating a bond, a brotherhood. That because, and it's something unfortunate always experienced in all franchises in the modern era. So, you know, Roger's really trying to instill that in our culture, that it's more than just rugby. We are more than just teammates.
Before I ask you about Ronan, you obviously now part of a very unique club as well. Super Rugby success, a World Cup winners medal, and now obviously a Champions Cup as well. I mean, how big is that club? Have you got your head around this?
I'll actually be honest, it's actually quite funny. I'm probably in the coaching staff, the one with the most titles that they count. So no, but that's been the goal of the club. You know, if you look at our coaching staff, we're all under 50. There's no one over 50 in our staff. We're all still young. I think Roger's 46, 45 around there. I'm 42. And we just got some of the other coaches that joined the 40 club. But, you know, it's about we're all specialists in different fields. And and honestly, you know, I've always said as a coach, I would have loved to find something. It's always been my goal to find something which I experienced back in the day with the Bulls, not only as players, but the way the staff was connected, the way they communicated with the players, everybody working together. And that's what I found at La Rochelle. You know, there are no egos here. We can have some discussions. We can challenge each other. We're here to help each other, you know, reinforce each other where it's necessary and keep each other honest. And, you know, in terms of a working environment, if I listen to what happens, a lot of other clubs, you know, we are very fortunate because the coaches, we train together, we work all together. And when the moment merits, we will have the odd beer, rosé, or wine together as well.
How has the dynamic changed for you? Sorry, Brendan. How has the dynamic changed for you? Not you. I'm talking about the club. Because obviously, you know, humble roots for the club, fought its way through the leagues and obviously won the ultimate prize in European rugby. So it was almost as if it was, you know, the little guy having something to prove. Now you've done it back-to-back, the biggest title. Has that sort of caused a shift? Do you have to find sort of fresh motivation or a thing that challenges you?
Oh, obviously, definitely. You have to find it. For a lot of these players, the core group in the beginning, they just wanted to win one title, you know. And it took even last year, we had to tell them, listen, guys, everybody can do it once. If you want to leave a legacy, you need to be consistent. And we were driven by that second title. And this year, and that's especially, we've realized all teams prepare way in advance for us. Unfortunately, beginning of the season, we didn't have the results we wanted. You know, it was the World Cup, all those type of things, like everyone else. But everybody would just step it up against us. And the players now have realized that. So that's actually forced them as well to step it up another notch, because whether it's in the scrum time, defense, the guys are coming for us. So the target on our back has gotten bigger. Like speaking to a lot of coach post-game, sometimes like even for our scrum, coaches will be preparing 3 weeks in advance. You know, I won't say which team, but one team was actually training 12 guys against 8 in the scrum, you know, just to get us ready. So yes, definitely there has been a shift in dynamic. You know, a lot of players had to make sure, right, what's the next step? What do we want to achieve this season? And what do we want to achieve going forward as a club? You know, but we are very, very well supported by our directors of rugby, Robert Moore and Pierre Venner as well, and our president, Vincent Merling. You know, they have a big vision for this club. So it's great. We have achieved something unbelievable by winning 2 Champions Cup, but now we need to go to the next step. So obviously in France, the Bouclier is a massive thing. So the guys are really driven by that.
So go through, I mean, this season, obviously you guys have had 2 very close contests, losing in the rain there against Leinster, and also then Cape Town, just, you know, very close games, both of them. How much pressure is on you guys going into this weekend?
Well, we have pressure every single week. You know, if you look at our season so far, you know, even top 14, it was a few games we lost then. And actually, if you take the 2 Champions Cup games and the 2 top 14 games, we lost 4 in a row. And the guys bounced back against Toulouse. They bounced back against Po, winning our first away game. Obviously, there is pressure. But we know that all we can control is our next performance. And this week is Leicester Tigers. And the boys have had a massive shift. And, you know, obviously losing against Leinster home was tough for us, because we take a lot of pride in our home games, like any other team. So that was a really tough one. But, you know, it was an intense game under the rain, not easy conditions. And, you know, the Stormers, you know, losing in that last minute was brutal. You know, lots of respect for the Stormers, but being a former Bulls player, that was a hard one to swallow, man. It was really hard to swallow. But, you know, and just on a positive note, I think I should mention that, is that, you know, looking at the Storm, looking at a lot of the players, and I'll be honest with you, we all know who plays for La Rochelle, plays for Toulouse, and like some of the Stormer players I didn't even know. And the way those guys were playing, getting stuck into that, some of them are still young. You know, as a South African, I was very proud of that. You know, seeing those youngsters coming through, so many players playing abroad. So from a South African point of view, that was great. So, but yeah, to come back to your question, we're on to the next job. Pressure, definitely. But, you know, we got the players to manage. But we also, you know, we're not arrogant. We know we have to work hard for this next game against Leicester Tigers. They've done well. They've won away against Stade Français in Paris. And, you know, we need to make sure we get our basics right and add a bit more detail to our execution of our game plan. Yeah.
There have been various responses to South Africa's entry into European rugby, or this Challenge Cup or the Champions Cup. And there have been some interesting comments emanating from France. I mean, what's been your experience? What's the sort of, what are the elements that the South African teams have brought to those competitions that you think, whether it's, you know, whether it's improved it or whether it's taken it a step back, you know, whatever?
I'll be honest with you, I'm a traditionalist, so I found it very strange the way in South African guys, because I mean, I came to Europe back in the day to play in the European Cup, wanted to play it. Now with the South African teams here, it's no longer the European Cup. But that said, it's great for rugby. South African teams have changed the dynamic. You know, what I'm enjoying now in South African rugby is, yes, we have that physicality, that brutality, but we're starting to see now players actually playing with the ball, running with the ball. And I'm not talking just about the centers. We're actually seeing the wings getting the ball in hand, which is great, you know. And obviously, when it comes to World Cup time, we go back to what we know best, you know, dismantling opposition, and we might not be the most expansive rugby. But since the South African teams have come into the Champions Cup, it has created something different, because it's opponent we didn't know in the beginning. You know, we didn't know where they stand. And we have seen as well with the South African teams playing in the URC, it's allowed that competition to boost. And it's actually lifted. I can't even remember what the competition was called before with the Irish teams and the Welsh teams, but it was a very average competition. But having the South African teams in the URC have lifted things up. And now the same in the Champions Cup. You know, like players, and I'll be honest with you, everybody respects South Africa in France and in Europe, all over the world. But especially after this World Cup, you know, there's so much more respect. But you can also see that South Africans have lifted their game all over. But that's how we work. You know, winning a World Cup is so much more. It's almost like we're seeing every single South African player now saying, I want to be part of the next one. So those guys have upped their game. And we're seeing youngsters, players we might not even know, that are bringing it. We saw the Stormers, you know, playing against Leicester away with the so-called B team, and they almost pulled it through. Yeah. So, yeah, from a coaching point of view, the South African teams are bringing something different. They bringing a massive physicality, because traditionally when we're going to the European Cup, it's a very fast game. It's similar to what we experienced back in the day in Super Rugby. But having the South African teams come in, it just brought back that brutal physicality.
Yeah, Gather, I was going to say, you say that the respect there, but I mean, I suppose maybe it's just me. Liam was in France with the World Cup. I wasn't. But from here, it just felt after South Africa won that quarterfinal, at least for the next couple of weeks, we weren't so popular in France.
South Africa wasn't popular at all. Even like I had to train not to smile. I actually did exercises specifically. At my flat, not to smile. That was very tough. I would actually go to the bathroom just to smile. So, but that's it. I can understand it. You know, they've been building towards that. They've been putting everything in place. Even by us at the clubs, we've been developing players to play for the French team, not just to play for them, but to dominate at international level. So, to be honest with you, being South African, obviously, 100% happy. But being in France now for 11 years, you know, there is a part of me that felt really for them. You know, I'm invested in the development of rugby in France because, I mean, that's my job. I was an academy coach as well. And a lot of our players of La Rochelle were playing this well. So I felt that joy and jubilation with South Africa winning, but I also felt that pain, you know, being in France. And It was tough because they invested a lot of money, a lot of those players, you know, but this also comes down to the media that were hyped up quite a bit. You know, a lot of people said they're going to win it. And let's be honest, Ireland and France were the number one teams the last 2 years. Mm. So that was hard for them to swallow. And yeah. As I explained to them, I said, like, honestly, guys, don't take this personally, but South Africans play for so much more. This is not a game. This is not for just to have that trophy in the cupboard. It's not just about having a medal. It's about inspiring a nation. You know, it takes me back 2 years ago as well. In 2010, we played in Soweto for the first time. Like, we didn't know what to expect, what was going on, because we couldn't play at Loftus, and we thought it was going to be chaos. But on that day, we saw people from different backgrounds come together, forgetting about their problems. And that is deep, but that, like, you don't even get that in rugby. I don't think there's a nation in the world that can comprehend that. But yeah, I'm going to get carried away and too emotional here. But yeah, it was a tough 3 weeks after that World Cup.
And I think people tend to forget that quarterfinal. It was a brutal game. It was so tense. There wasn't much in it, and it could actually have gone either way. And it changes the arc of your history in a way, if you know, by just 1 point.
No, it's crazy. And you know, just in South Africa, you know, hats off to the boys, the players, you know, you could see everybody was connected. You know, I read the book of Rassie and I can understand how he works, you know, and that season. But I can tell you this, that you know, the boys, they gave it their best, and also just whoever came in, they just kept on delivering. And you know, that's the great thing. But I'll tell you this, I actually made a demand to the club to take a leave of absence, you know, after the World Cup, because I had emotional burnout, you know, after the quarterfinal.
You and the rest of South Africa. As all of us in South Africa as well. So.
Yeah, I've asked for another public holiday on the side, but I didn't give it.
The one thing, this show is also about, and I'm sure Liam said it to you before as well, is also about a bit of the good old red stuff in the bottle and the white stuff in the bottle, the rosé. You're quite a big fan of the rose wine. so to speak.
Yeah, the rosé, the Côte de Provence, you know. So it's actually quite good. I need to explain this to you guys. So in France, we have a thing called apéro. So this is what I love about the French people. Like, they say, no, I'm not going to drink a lot. I'm not going to get pissed. No, we're not having a big party. We're just having an apéro. So apéro, that's a moment for people to get together. Enjoy each other.
Sorry, that while having drinks. Like a suburb in Cape Town.
So I love my wine. And that's the great thing about France. You know, it's winter now, so I'm enjoying a good Bordeaux, either nice Saint-Emilion Cru or Pomerol, which is also from the Bordeaux region. So, but, you know, I'll be honest to you, like, I don't know a lot of the wines. I know what I like, but sometimes it can get intense. So, you know, when guys are starting to smell and drink water and sip and air everything out, things can get quite intensive. But what I love about the whole culture of France is they got like a wine for every type of meal. Like sometimes I'll bring a wine to them, like, no, that's not the right type of red. I'm like, it's red. We're having meat. But yeah, it's a big culture. But like I said in the previous podcast when we had a chat, you know, the one thing I love about the French vibe is that, you know, they actually enjoy it. You know, it's like for them coming together, it's about enjoying each other's company, having a pâté, the apéro is about having snacks and all these type of things. But it's very important for these guys to enjoy the products. And they're very, how can I say, proud of the heritage. So they're very stuck on like, needs to be French. But I'll be telling you this, they've been tasting some South African wines. They've discovered the Chocolat Block and Hermanus Pietersfontein Kleinboot. So you're enjoying that. They think it's the best wine ever. And to be honest, with us being in Cape Town, our team really enjoyed it. The reception of the people in South Africa was amazing. We were well received. And honestly, as a South African, I was unbelievably proud of everyone back at home, you know, but really made a massive effort for the boys. The boys finally got to get some sort of African beef, like, so they were enjoying it. So they went seventh heaven.
I got a first-hand experience of how intense it can get. You know, people obviously get very, not just provincial, I mean, even within a small confine, about the particular wines of that particular area, driving through Kasi. And I made the mistake of saying to the taxi driver, oh no, I've experienced the wines there because I had a wine from Bandol, and it's literally across the next mountain peak. Yeah. And this guy was like, he looked at me like, no, that's a very different, it's a different wine. He made it sound like it's from a different continent. So they are quite particular, about their vines.
No, look, they're very, and even like with the Aperol, I've got a friend now, he started a concept called Aperology. So he actually goes out to get the best wines to match the certain pâtés and certain cheeses. So they're like, it gets intense. Like, luckily for me, I've been his guinea pig, so I had to quality test all these products over the last 3 months.
Who are you?
And then do some in-depth research to try and establish whether the people out there would find value in these type of products.
Brainstorm, yeah. I think we need to the Lost Drop needs to organize a rugby tour at some point, tour where we go watch a couple of club games, and in between we go up a roll. Delta.
Look, I'm desperate to go watch a game at La Rochelle. That's one of the things that has to happen at some point.
No, definitely. Let me know when you guys need. If you need tickets, just let me know 2 years in advance.
We'll watch from your flat. Don't worry. It sounds like it's good.
No, on a serious note, even for us as coaches, we struggle to get tickets because, 80% of our tickets, it's all annual memberships, you know, like season ticket holders.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's a waiting list. So we've had over 80 games sold out now, home games, and consecutively. And you're actually on a waiting list. So either someone has to move or die in order for you to get an opportunity.
How big is the press box? That's probably the most important question.
There's no press here. No, there is press, but you guys are definitely not in a box. You guys need to suffer in the cold.
I see we're running out of time. So, but yeah, I think let's wrap it up. Thanks. Great. I think we can probably speak for hours here. And we probably won't see you again. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for sharing all this with us. And good luck for the weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And as always, you know, all my best to everybody in South Africa. Once again, thanks for all you guys' continuous support. And, you know, just stay safe that side. Keep on building each other up. And I always tell this, inspire each other. That's the most important thing we can do. And, lots of love to everybody back home.
You're with Liam Delcom and Brendan Nell on the To The Last Drop podcast.
So, Liam, prediction time. It's a big weekend.
It is, and there are some teams who have lost some ground in the initial weeks of the Champions Cup as well as the Challenge Cup. But you know, there are some high-profile teams, as we alluded to it as well in the Guthrie Steenkamp interview. La Rochelle cannot afford another slip-up. The defending champions, or double defending champions, they have their backs to the wall, so they need a positive result.
Yeah, well, let's go through pool by pool, then it's probably easier. Pool one is the Bulls pool, and over there we start off with an interesting one, unbeaten Bordeaux-Begles, I'm not sure how, just call them Bordeaux, play Saracens, which is a very tricky tie on Saturday.
That's a tasty one, very
Saracens
tasty one.
Under pressure. Big time.
But they are. They're quality side. They've got all this history. They don't mind being with their backs to the wall. I feel, though, that, you know, the pressure they're under at the moment is a little different from, you know, the previous times they have felt the squeeze. And they're up against the side that, you know, when they play at home, they are very difficult to beat. So and Bordeaux for the last, I think the last three or four seasons, they've really, advanced their cause in the top 14 as well. I mean, they're not a team that sort of languishes towards the end, the bottom end of the table, or sort of meander in mid-table. They're proper contenders. So I'm going to go with Bordeaux.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, from a South African point of view, you're probably hoping, and I know it's going to sound a very weird thing to say, but if Bordeaux do beat Saracens, it's probably good for the Bulls because they come to Loftus the next week. And if they've already qualified, chances are the way the French sides work, they probably will send a younger, less experienced team out to Pretoria.
Very good chance of that happening.
Yeah. And that will help the Bulls even better when they qualify. So, yeah, but that's a tasty encounter. Then the other one, on Saturday, Connacht face Lyon. Connacht must win. Lyon are in, like the Bulls, in the mid-table. They won one, lost one. So also spicy. Connacht didn't really do well against Bordeaux. Bordeaux hammered them. So
yeah, if it was a home game for Connacht, I would have gone with him, no doubt whatsoever. And in fact, I think I might still go with them. I mean, Lyon again, like a bit like Bordeaux as well. I mean, you're not just going to show up there and take the points. But you know, I think Connacht at the moment have a, they've got quite a bit going for them, so I'm going to go with them winning by like 3 or 4 points. Not deal, don't be much.
I must admit, I still think Leon's tough to beat at the time. I mean, the Bulls did everything right and still couldn't get a win there. So, although, I mean, there were a couple of very interesting refereeing calls in that game, which tend to happen in these European games. You're going to get used to it. Every time I say something about it, all our sort of colleagues in England and Wales and Scotland keep on saying to me, but oh, you're new to this. This happens all the time. So I suppose we've got to get used to some of these calls. And then of course, Bristol playing the Bulls. I think Bristol, they are eighth in the Premiership, but they did beat Sale Sharks last week in Manchester, which is first time Sale have lost a long time. So I think they will start the Ritz. Looks like a sellout crowd as well for them. And, they're a tough side to beat at home when their backs are up. So, I reckon the Bulls got their work cut out. And plus, yeah, the way the Bulls, the team that they're going to probably take, second string team, you expect them, if they don't do everything perfectly, probably 10 to 15 points.
Yeah, the Bristol Bears, big heavy spenders. Maybe not as much as, you know, was the case a couple of years ago, but, you know, they have some big name players there. I don't see a way through for the Bulls here. I tend to agree with you, maybe by, say, 9 points, maybe 10.
Yeah, I think it's one thing for the Bulls to do it once off against Lyon. I think Bristol's a new place. I see it's going to be close to freezing, -2. I think everything counts against the Bulls in terms of that. Yeah. And they're going to have to be almost perfect to do that. Can they do it? I'm sure they can. But you tend to see that our players don't like playing in those sort of temperatures at times, and Bulls are perennial bad travelers. So, well, it's hoping we're wrong. I'll gladly eat my hat if we're wrong. So it'll be quite interesting. Liam, pool two. Yeah, big game, huge one. Johan van Kraan's resurgent Bath rugby hosting Sia Kulisi's Racing 92. That's a tasty one on Sunday as well.
It is. If it was a home game for the Parisian club, I would have said they would win, but they are not the best travellers. Bath, as you made as well pointed out there, I mean, they are experienced a bit of a revival, and it's a popular one because they are a much revered club in England. I believe the home team will win here. I think Bath at home, given their form, I mean, it's they're still a bit up and down, but I think they'll have enough to beat us.
Yeah. Also, I mean, obviously from a South African point of view, there's lots of South Africans in that team as well. You hope for their part as well. CS team, of course, if they lose, they're basically out then because they've lost their opening two. So they're not in a good position. They're very desperate. That should be a very interesting one. Also, with the French teams, it'd be interesting to see what team they take to Perth as well. We'll only know on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. You can probably get a sense then of whether they've given up or not, because there's a huge emphasis in France on the top 14. So they tend to pick their battles here.
Yeah, Toulouse, they're going off to Ulster. That's another nice one on Saturday. That's a huge one.
That's a very, very big one.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, I mean, Ulster, notoriously difficult to beat at home and in those conditions. It's never, the conditions are never friendly, let's put it that way. So you kind of have to prepare yourself for wet and for the bluster and for, a crowd that's on top of you. So, but Toulouse, I mean, they are not the most decorated team in the competition for no reason. So if there's any team that can go there and beat them, it probably is Toulouse. And Ulster have lost at home this season. So they, again, they're probably not where they are supposed to be. I'm going to go Toulouse.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's any pack that is going to relish that sort of wind and rain, and that is the close to 1,000-kilogram Toulouse juggernaut. And, I mean, there's some big boys in that pack. They're not going to be scared of that. They'll quite enjoy the old-fashioned sort of rain and stuff. Other game,
but yeah, again, we'll probably have to see how they, what team they put out.
Yeah, again, same sort of thing. But I think we should asterisk all these games with that. Harlequins travel to Cardiff on Saturday. Win would see them through to the next round, and they'd be qualified basically before the time. So Bath, Toulouse, and Harlequins could probably qualify if they will get wins.
Yeah, I'm thinking Harlequins here. I mean, Cardiff, hot and cold at this, a little while back, but then mostly cold the last while. So I'm going to go Harlequins.
Yeah, we're going to go through quickly pool three as well. Both Northampton Saints and Exeter Chiefs have a chance to qualify as well. They've got 100% record. Northampton, they host Bayonne, which should be an interesting one again. Which team will the French team send? But I think Northampton probably that one.
Yeah, agree with you.
Exeter host Glasgow Warriors. That's a spicy one. That should be quite interesting.
That's a very intriguing one. I think this game, in many ways, will give you a proper sense of what the English Premiership, the strength of the English Premiership, and then the strength of the URC. Because Exeter, one of the leading clubs, or have become one of the leading clubs in England over the last couple of years. Glasgow Warriors punching, I'm going to say, well above their weight, actually, in many ways in the URC. So it is a very interesting matchup. And as much as I would almost routinely say a win at Sandy Park for Chiefs, I'm not so sure. I think Glasgow Warriors are entirely capable of going there and winning. I'm going to go Warriors.
I was going to say, I'm also going to call for the upset just from a purely UFC hat on. And I just think there's something, Franco is busy with something special there at Glasgow, and hopefully that'll carry them through. But it is a tough task for them.
And also the playing styles. I mean, it's two teams that usually, you know, have a proper crack. So hopefully the conditions allow them to.
Yeah, and then the final game in Pool 3, what would normally be a tasty one, but with the amount of that Munster have, traveling to Toulon on Saturday. Yeah, tough one. I think Munster, I mean, they've got something like 44% of their squad is injured at the moment. It's something ridiculous. And I see Jean Klein's the latest one to go down. Just so real, real bad injury count for them. They're going to need to stand up and fight, as the anthem says, and they're going to need a brave performance in Toulon, but I can't see them winning there at this stage.
If there is one game that you would want to attend in this round of games, it's probably that one. I mean, I was lucky enough at the World Cup where a group of blokes from Munster sat in a pub next to the Felix Mayol watching the Ireland game. And it was a fantastic experience, a proper rugby bar. And I suppose this weekend, a very similar vibe, you will find it in Toulon. As far as the result goes, I think the home team will pull this one through, only because Munster, they're going to send a team there that probably they don't have the form, and you probably don't have the personnel.
Yeah, and I think in Pool 4, there is some spicy ones. We start off with Leinster, who can qualify if they win, and they can eliminate Stade Francais at the same time. That'd be very interesting. Games in Dublin, Leinster should be favourites for that. And again, which team would Stade Francais send, given they haven't had the best of European seasons?
I think Leinster, I think, are the sure bets there.
And, I think the other one, DHL Stormers, Sale Sharks, there is a spicy one we'll all be watching as well. South Africans involved. Tough.
That's the interesting dynamic there, because most of the Saffers would have had a taste of Cape Town. Don't know how many of them would have played at Cape Town Stadium, though. But either way, I mean, it's people who, are playing familiar territory, so you know, but the Stormers will still have a home ground advantage, but the Sale Sharks will arrive there not feeling as foreign.
I'd go for the Stormers winning just purely on home ground advantage, but I think we're going to see a very, very spicy game there, because there's lots of South Africans, lots of rivalries over there, and lots of players with points to prove.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so no, it's interesting. The other one, La Rochelle, Stade Rochelais, must beat Leicester Tigers to stay in the competition. Leicester Tigers are pretty decent themselves. They'd want the victory as well. A huge game. Andre Pollard probably there for Leicester as well. Jasper Visa, lots of South Africans there to watch as well. But just a fascinating one, with the defending champions backs against the wall.
Absolutely. Both teams, I think, have two European Cup wins. So there's, they come with proper pedigree. I think it's that stage of the season where if La Rochelle is going to have a season where they come anywhere close to emulating what they achieved last season, this is the game in which they have to stand up and show that, they haven't completely lost the plot. So I expect a massive performance from them. So that's what I'm going to go with him.
Yeah. Do we have time for EPCR? Well, I think we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's go through quick fire EPCR. You can just give me Newcastle, Benetton.
I will go Benetton.
Oh, interesting one, that one. I'd probably also go Benetton. Osprey,
I'll go Benetton, and in fact, I'll go by 12 points at least.
Yeah. In Swansea, Ospreys, USAP, that's with Papringal.
Oh, say again, sorry?
USAP is Papringal, isn't it?
Perpignan, yeah. Perpignan, Ospreys. I'm going to go Ospreys. They've been on a decent run late, and Perpignan struggling on all fronts.
Sharks or Yanaks? I think Sharks pretty much
Yeah, the Sharks should win this one.
Yeah, I think we might see a young team coming out as well. Seeing as the Yonex have lost both their games as well. Clermont Scarlets.
Clermont. Scarlets have lost a little bit of their luster, as far as I'm concerned. So Clermont at home, notoriously difficult to beat.
Zebra Dragons, two of the bottom dwellers.
I'm going to go Zebra. My home ground advantage, I think, will count for a lot there. And that, the Dragons just, hard to watch.
An intriguing one, Cust against Black Lions, Georgia's Black Lions.
I'm going to go with Custry. I think they will win it.
I'll go for Black Lions just because I like the Georgian teams.
Yeah, I remember the last game as well, you went to Black Lions. I think they won, actually.
Yeah. Edinburgh Gloucester. I think probably Gloucester. They look a bit in better form than Edinburgh at the moment.
This is a difficult one. You're right about Gloucester. Their form is decent. No, I'm going to go the home side this time. I'm going to go Edinburgh.
Montpellier and Lions, both unbeaten.
Lions taking a much depleted side in terms of experience. So
Montpellier,
you know, if they took the front line 15 or 23, if you want to call it that, I would have gone Lions. But I think I'm going to have to go with Montpellier on this one.
And last one, Cheetahs Pau in Amsterdam.
Cheetahs.
Yeah. Oranje. Yeah, there we go. That should be interesting in Amsterdam at least. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's our predictions, Liam. Confident in all your predictions? So we're going to, would we go bets?
Not entirely, no. I was going to use that excuse. It's early in the year. We haven't seen enough. But of course, we have seen enough. There's enough form to go on. But I think, as we said earlier, I think it's a big weekend for a number of big clubs or franchises. And, we'll know a lot more by the end of the weekend.
I think, there's been a lot of criticism of the format and the way it's structured at the moment. It's definitely not perfect. But the fact that you've got all this jeopardy and teams that desperately need to win sort of heightens the stakes. And you've got a number of exceptional clashes this weekend. So I'm looking quite forward. I'll be glued in front of the TV where I can. And obviously working where I can't be glued in front of the TV. But it's going to be very interesting and hoping for a great round of rugby. Lots to talk about, hopefully. You've got to say thanks to Guthrie as well for joining us. That was great of him as well. I know he's a busy man.
Yeah, it's still, Guthrie drinking all that rosé is still an image that, it takes a while to get used to.
Yeah, I must admit, he's one of those characters of rugby, and I don't think people realize how much he's loved in France, because he's quite a character there as well, and he's totally embraced the culture. So it was good having him on. We spoke a lot about Marco Mazzotti.
Easy for you to say.
Not really. I think we're going to have to get him on at some point to come talk to us as well. Been a good week. I hope you guys are all going to enjoy the weekend. Liam, you as well. And hope we find a glass of wine.
I will certainly do that. I think there'll be a couple of games that will leave the throat dry, I think, towards the end.
Well, dry January just means some of your blanc. That's all it really means. So anyway, on that note, goodbye. We'll chat to you guys next week. This has been To The Last Drop. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. And a reminder, you can find all the To The Last Drop podcasts on the Brendan Nell YouTube channel, iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, and iTunes, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.